Vladimir, the recordings are now started.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Standing Selection Committee call on Wednesday, 7th of February, 2018. On the call today, we have Susan Kawaguchi, Maximo Vilber, Renato Aquino-Ribeiro, Osvaldo Navarro, and Frédéric Guillemot. We received an apology from Ponce de Lology. And from staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Emily Barabas, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes and to keep your lines muted to avoid any background noise. I'd also like to note that Laurie Shulman has just joined us in the Adobe Connect room. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Susan.
Thank you so much, Natalie, and welcome all. Thanks for joining. It looks like we almost have everyone except Ponce. So, first thing on the agenda, does anybody have any SOI updates? Looks like Lori's typing. Oh, I'm glad you did. You got the confluence issue figured out. That's really important. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any SOI updates. So thank you all for filling out the poll. I was late in doing so, and so thank you, Emily, for extending the poll. But it looks like we've got everybody now. And so that will be our first job today. Is to review those updates. Just as a reminder, you know, we have we need to select a candidate to nominate to the GNSO Council for the SSR2, and it's either Scott or Rial, unless we make some other decision. Those are our two candidates out of the original seven left. So, Emily, I was wondering if you could present the poll results just simply because you're probably more familiar with them. I read them this morning. But yes, Emily, go ahead.
Thanks, Susan. This is Emily from staff. Actually, before we get started with the poll results, would it be helpful to provide an update about the discussions during the strategic council session and sort of where we are in terms of goals for the process and deadlines? I'm happy to cover that, or if you'd like to speak to that, Susan, maybe we could start with that.
Oh, that's a good idea. And I'm going to let you cover that because it's a little fuzzy in my brain right now, what we did last week. So,
sure, no problem. This is Emily from staff again. I guess it was last week. It already feels like quite a long time ago, but the council held a strategic session to discuss a number of high-level issues. But one of the topics that came up was this particular selection process. And the original plan was for the SSC to just do an initial evaluation of the skills matrix to see if there was an obvious place where one of these two candidates would fill a need or a gap in the existing skill set, and then sort of stop there and wait further instruction. But it sounds like now there's a bit more urgency around the selection process because the other SOs and ACs feel that it's important to fill this position before the SSR2 review team can sort of unpause or restart. Because the GNSO doesn't want to be the limiting factor on restarting the process, that means that they would very much like the SSC to make a selection, ideally one of these two candidates sooner rather than later. So that's my understanding. Marika or Susan, please feel free to chime in, but it sounds like the bottom line is that the time pressure around this selection is somewhat more pressing than it seemed to have been previously. So that's just a bit of context for our process. And Marika says nothing to add. Thanks. So what you'll see here is we've got seven responses now, which is great, to the poll. And what everyone was asked to do as a reminder was to look at this matrix of skills that the existing SSR2 review team members had filled out where they assessed themselves and said, these are the skills we think we have. So again, none of this is really a hard and fast science, but it should give us a little bit of an indication. And then we asked for the two remaining candidates from the sort of existing pool of candidates, do they have these skills from what we can tell from the materials? And I realize it's difficult to assess that. So this is the sort of summary document of, let me unsync this. And again, you know, we're seeing a lot of little numbers. So it's a little bit hard to sort of assess what you're looking at, but I'm actually going to share a different document for a minute that might be a little bit easier to interpret. So let's see. So building on the matrix that was produced by the SSR2 review team members, and again, this is just sort of a you know, please don't take this as hard and fast science, but just sort of one way to look at this. I'm going to unsync again. What I did here was take in the second column a tally of all of the skills, the number of X's or number of members who said that they had a particular skill, and highlighted in green the ones where 11 or more had that skill, so it's a skill that's already heavily represented. For 6 to 10 members having that skill, it's yellow. And for 1 to 5, so one that's kind of an underrepresented skill, it's highlighted in red. And then in the final two columns for each of the candidates, I tallied the number of times that SSC members felt that a person had this particular skill. So, for example, mitigating unique identifier abuse, 6 people felt that Scott McCormick seemed to have that skill based on his application, whereas Rao, only 3 people did. And it's a skill that's somewhat in need because 9 people have that skill. So maybe that's not the most urgent. The ones that are in red, for example, contractual compliance might be one to look at a little more closely. So that's one way to start looking at this. I think what you'll see if you just kind of scan through this is that in general, Scott McCormick had higher scores for kind of across the board, but also for for the sort of red items, the most needed items, they're actually, it looks like, roughly equal. But overall, Scott had higher scores. So that might be a starting point. And another starting point might also be to look at the poll from 2017, which was very, very basic, which basically just said, who do you think has more of the skills needed for this role? And Scott also came out on top there, and I can display that in a few minutes if that's helpful. So perhaps we could just start a bit of a conversation around where to go from here. And I noticed that there are a few comments as well in the poll that I'm just going to drop into the chat from 3 of the members who followed up on the poll, and that might also fuel the conversation. Oops, those all came out as one chat. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to drop those all in one by one. And Susan, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, thanks, Emily. Frederick has lost sound. Can we help Frederick out? So one of my questions that I put in, and I did this late at night last night, what was PTI? I could not for the life of me remember what PTI was, and I was hoping somebody on the staff could remind me.
This is Marika. It used to be post-transition IANA, but now it's called something else. They renamed it
Public Technical Identifier.
Exactly. That's the one.
Trying to recall.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I don't feel so bad that I didn't remember, since it could have been 2 different things. Well, same thing. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you, Lori. I should have Googled it. So that was one of my, you know, I think I might have indicated that in the poll. I'm not sure I answered that. So, but obviously everybody else knew what it was. So let's scroll back up to the questions. So one of the first questions, I extrapolated to large extent the skills with what was indicated as experience resume, but that doesn't mean they are accurate assumption. We may need more details from applicants with regard to requested skills. And that is what I did also as I primary. I mean, I read all the documents, but the resume is where I took most of my thought process from. This is a long list of criteria. Some of them are wide and it's difficult to judge with yes or no. Hope we reach a consensus. There are concerns in the registry stakeholder group that diversity should be taken into account from geo and constituency points of view, from perspective of leaving SSR2 member of the candidate with the scientific background might bring scientific point of view, which would allow SSR2 more holistic approach to the reviews. So those are all good comments, and I'm glad you're back, Frederic. So does anybody have any thoughts about the candidates and how we can move forward with the discussion? Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Ozer, but for the record, actually, I also think that we need to take into consideration the diversity from the geo perspective to have balanced membership of the from different parts of the world. And also from perspective of the constituency which sent candidates. So we're sure that balance achieved here too. And my thinking beyond this comment about scientific point of view, actually looking at these questions, my feeling that these questions are answered yes for enterprise kind of security specialist, and enterprise means usually the ways to earn more money. And the scientific approach is to see the picture and to review it from abstract point of view, so we don't miss something which is not obviously tied to earning more money. Thanks.
Okay. So I should have thought of this before, but from a stakeholder group diversity, we have Denise, which is the BC. We had James, which was he more of a registrar? Can staff help me remember? I'm just remembering, we had Emily who was registrar.
Hi, Susan, it's Emily. I can.
Oh, James was, okay, thank you, Emily.
Sure. So Scott McCormick is from the BC, and Rao Navid Bin Rice is from the NCUC. And you're asking about James Gannon as well? He was also NCUC.
Okay.
And then did you want the affiliations of the folks who are currently on the SSR too as well?
Yeah, that would help if you don't mind.
Okay. One moment. I'll just pop this in the chat in 1 second.
Okay. So from the stakeholder diversity, Rao would replace James from, you know, as being a NCUC, but I can't remember besides Denise who else, which, shame on me, I should have looked it up. And Eric, we had originally selected, but he was then selected by RSAC.
This is Marika. I believe the other member is Norm Ritchie, but I don't recall if he is formally affiliated with any SOAC. And Emily just confirms that he's unaffiliated.
Okay. So it's Norm and Denise and Eric, but we didn't put Eric on the, even though he's from a registry, he was nominated by RSAC. There's got to be one more. Anyway, let's figure that one out. So we have one more. We should have one more current member, right? Or no, so we're replacing James. I'm sorry, it's early in the morning for me. So James would have been the, so it was Denise, James, and Norm, because we lost Emily and replaced Emily with Norm. So just looking at, you know, geodiversity and stakeholder group or constituency point of views, as Maxim pointed out, you know, RAL provides that diversity. Scott is definitely from the U.S. and from the B.C., and Denise already is from that, or from the CSG, really. So any other thoughts? And Renato somebody's answering that. So we do have two different types of skills within these two candidates. You know, my viewpoint, and I could be wrong, but even though RAL has worked as an engineer and participated in ICANN, he has more of an academic background. Scott is purely information security with a military background. So both of them bring different perspectives, I would think, to security issues. I think Scott probably has more real-life experience, but in looking at the chart, the skill matrix, and that was very helpful, Emily, that you color-coded them and presented it this way. They both probably fill areas that, you know, the most needed areas, I guess, or uncovered areas. And, you know, in the yellow sections, you know, they may help out in those areas. So, Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzopa for transcript. Actually, given that I have some experience in ICANN compliance, both from registry and registrar perspective, because we have cross control between registries and registrars of our own, I can say that it would be enough to recommend the candidate, whoever he is, to pass additional training with ICANN compliance, just about the structure of the documents, which they check for, like registrar contracts and set of policies, and temporary policies and RFCs. So, and I think few hours would be enough, because I do not expect that the security expert is going to read these more than 100 pages long registry contract or quite long registrar contract and all non-technical policies, because technical specialists tend to read technical policies and RFCs. That's it. They don't read legal obligations usually, because it's other departments' headache. So I think since we see that the score for legal, for contractual compliance and legal background is quite low, we might recommend additional training of small scale. And from this perspective, two candidates are almost equal. Thanks.
Thanks, Maxim. I'm not. Are we in a staff? Do you think we're in a position to make a recommendation for additional training, or is that something we would just sort of informally call out, Marika?
This is Marika. It is potentially something that I think the council, as it communicates its recommendations to the SOAC chairs, can say maybe in a general way that SSR2 needs to make sure that, you know, where needed, appropriate training or time is spent in areas where review team members may have less experience. I think you can maybe do it in such a general way, but I would caution against telling specific candidates, you know, we'll only consider you if you follow this or do that. Because again, I think that would run you into an area where it may not be appropriate for this group to act. But I think in a general manner, providing that feedback from a council perspective when it communicates the candidates, I think would be appropriate.
Okay. That makes sense. All right, so is there any other information or review we need to do of these candidates to make a decision? Looks like Maxim's typing. Marika.
This is Marika, and I don't know if it's possible to do on this call, or I guess it depends a bit as well on you know, how familiar people are with the other members of the review team. But I've noted in the chat that indeed there seem to be, you know, two different choices, one more of a security professional, the other one more of academic nature. So I think the question is indeed in the overall makeup of the SSR2, which of the skills is more complementary and more in need? And as I said, you know, I don't have any suggestions in that regard because I'm not very familiar with the other members of the review team, but I'm wondering if that could be a consideration as well, that you already look not only just at the GNSO candidates, but also to the broader picture. And I think, you know, Emily's table probably helps a bit with that, as it did indicate kind of which areas they wanted or they felt they were less represented in, although I understand that it doesn't necessarily give kind of a breakthrough or a clear-cut difference between the two candidates. Similarly, and I put that in the chat as well, some were talking about diversity, and I was assuming from a regional perspective that the current makeup, at least between North America and Asia-Pacific, is fairly equal, so that may not either be a tiebreaker in this regard, because I think if I quickly look at the list, there are currently four representatives from the Asia-Pacific region versus four from the North American region. So again, I'm not sure how much it will help you, but I thought it might be worth mentioning.
Okay. So that is actually very helpful. Thank you, Marika. This is Susan for the record. So maybe the geodiversity isn't quite as crucial. The other, what we've heard from the suspension of the SSR2 is that there was some in ESSAC, you know, and this isn't very clear, but this is my understanding. So please, anybody else has a different understanding, correct me. But what I've heard is the ESSAC was concerned with the sort of technical and information security abilities on the team and felt that more members need to be added in that realm, you know, with that experience. So it could be that, Scott has more of that actual real-life experience, and maybe Raul from an academic point of view has more of more research, you know, experience in information security and fighting abuse. I'm not quite sure from his resume. I do happen to know Scott a little bit, so, you know, felt more confident about responding on the poll about him just because I have some personal knowledge. But and that's interesting, Lori. So you're saying Raul's soft skills seem to rank higher and Scott's hard skills seem to rank higher. So we need to pick one. Of course, we don't have, Ponslet couldn't make it, so we're going to have to do this via email too, I would say. So would everyone be, and Lori's saying she leans towards Scott because of the nature of the review. Oh, and Erica, I'm sorry, I was missing Erica too. So previously we've had, you know, numerous candidates in, and we ranked them in a poll once we'd had a discussion about them. So we could do the same thing, is go ahead and have a quick poll assess. Or just do it via email. And it looks like you've already, oh, okay, these are, so this is the poll results from last time. Is that what you put up, Emily?
Hi, Susan. Yeah, this is Emily. So this is, it was actually just a one question poll, essentially, from the last time around in 2007 when we ultimately selected Norm Ritchie. And here was the question, basically just ranking in order of preference based on matching the requirements for the position. And as you can see, Scott ranked slightly higher than Rao in that poll.
Okay.
Lori, correct, 2017, last year.
Yeah, 2007, that would have been a long time ago.
Oh, dear. Yes. Sorry. 2017.
There you go. We could do the same just with the two names, too, and see how everybody comes out. Lori's saying she would vote for Scott. So would Osvaldo. And due to his profile and the actual group profile. Renata is stating, I think Rao has more experience than he was ranked, but I would interpret that comes from his resume, which focuses on his academic side, even though he did have professional experience. Yeah, Renata, I was having a little bit hard of a time distinguishing how in-depth his professional experience was. And Frederick was saying he would also think Rao would bring a less business-like point of view. So it looks like we have two good candidates. And, I'm calling him Rao. Renata, you're calling him Naveed. So I am sure I'm wrong. So I'll switch to Naveed. Lead of all fellowship coaches, so training will be what he does. I did notice he was part of the fellowship program and the DNS operational. Go ahead, Renata. I'm sorry, I missed your hand. Please go ahead and speak.
Thanks, Susan. Renata here. Yes, my comment is more about Rao Naveed's background that I know from Mike, and so I do not know him personally. I think I I might have crossed him into ICANN meetings a few times, but I do not know him that well. But I know that he is he comes from a very technical area of security. He is an academic, but he had experience in companies as well, because the university he's in is sort of in a techno park, and they do have these hands-on experiences international companies. And now he is the lead of the cold working group. So it's a group that's building the new materials for training in ICANN and presenting the all the SOECs in ICANN for the fellows. So he does have this broader knowledge of ICANN and an extensive contact network. Indeed, I do see that Scott has a lot of industry experience and has more of a, as an individual affiliation, he probably has also knowledge of the SOECs, but from not really being identified with one or another. And Naveed, I was even in doubt because he is NCC, but he also has a work in RCSEC. But I would then recommend Naveed for this, because I think he can bring a balance, which would be very useful to SSR too, because he has, again, lived through every SOEC in ICANN and knows a lot of fellows and has an extensive network and knowledge of ICANN itself. And I think it would be a good addition for SSR2 in its resuming work.
Hey, that's really helpful perspective. And it did seem like from his resume and his other materials that he was very active in ICANN. Oh, that's interesting, Marika. Would it be worth asking Norman Denise what type of skills, type of person would be most valuable to the SSR? So I think that would be worth asking Norman Denise those questions if the committee agrees. Marika, go ahead and speak. I didn't see your hand.
Yeah, this is Rick. I only just put it up. And I think this is also not just for this review, but it may also be something you want to do for future review teams. Because I get a sense that we often talk about what we think or assume a review team might need, but I think none of us actually have been in a review, well, apart from you, Susan, but may not know what is actually required from a review team members and indeed what skills and experience are most important or valuable. And I think in this case, we're in a unique situation where a review team is actually already underway, and it may be an opportunity to ask indeed those members that are already involved in the review team, what is more important? Is it more important the hands-on experience that Scott may have, from his work, or is the academic perspective more valuable or more needed within the makeup of the review team? I know it's probably a tricky question to ask, and I don't know if there's a way to ask them in a general way, where without maybe having them choose between one and the other or expose the candidates in that way, or just have them talk in general about what the review team work looks like and the types of skills they believe would complement the review team as it currently stands. I don't know if that would facilitate in making the decision between two candidates that seem equally qualified, but maybe equally qualified in different types of areas.
So that would be interesting. And if we could get that input from them quickly, I think it's probably worth a try. Does anybody have any objection to asking that question? And then I think we're very lucky to, again, have solid candidates to decide it from. So so no objections from Lori and none from Renata. So maybe the way to move forward is to simply go ahead, Maxim, your hand's up.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record, Susan, I lost sound for some time. What is the last question we were talking about, the where we are seeking for agreement or disagreement?
So we were talking, Marika had suggested that we reach out to Norm Ritchie and Denise and get their perspective on, in a general, from a general point of view, not ask them specifically, you know, which candidate would be better. But since there may be a consensus that Rao has more academic experience and Scott has more hands-on experience, to draft a question to or an email to them asking in a very general way which would be better in working on the review team and, you know, what type of candidate are would they feel would fill some of the needs on the SSR too. So I was asking if anybody objected to actually reaching out to Norm and Denise with that question. Does that make sense?
It's Maxim again. As I understand, they didn't have a chance to actually work. They, I had conversation with Norm Ritchie in Abu Dhabi. He told me that they were gathered and basically told that, unfortunately, we put you on hold. That's it. So I'm not sure if they had experience in working in the group because they were actually prohibited from doing that, as I understand.
Well, I know Denise. She was, you know, in the beginning, you know, from the beginning. So Norm was a replacement, and he sort of came on board, and then they were suspended. So he would have less experience in that with the team in as a whole, but Denise would. And then Marika's also saying maybe we could reach out to James Gannon. Because he was there from the start. Norm replaced Emily, so, you know, we could reach out to Emily too, I think, but I don't think she spent as much time. So if there's no... I think, so Renata's saying, I think reaching out to currently leads would be best, wouldn't it? So, Renata, on that point, oh, on the co-chairs, yeah. So, Eric and Denise are the co-chairs right now. So, that is a point we could add Eric. Denise would be already one of the people we've sort of targeted. But, okay, so we could ask the co-chairs. Is that more agreeable to everyone? Yeah, and I agree, Frederick. We would need a, and I'm hoping that Marika or Emily could take the first draft on that email so we could approve that email via on the email thread. So it looks like everybody's in agreement on that. And then after we get that information back, Maxim, is that a new hand or old hand?
It's a new hand, Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Unfortunately, I have to drop in a few minutes, and I'm not sure if we have enough time to go to the charter question. I suggest we move it to the next meeting of ours.
I absolutely agree on that. I don't think we'd have enough time to dig into it. So we'll schedule another meeting for the charter review, and that would also give everybody time to review it a little bit. And Emily is saying, yes, we can draft something. It sounds like we're asking for a general recommendation about the skills or profile type that's most helpful. Yes. And I agree, Marika, that then we could run a poll. So that, so we have two steps here for the selection of the candidate, is to get some feedback from a very general question to the co-chairs, and then run the poll on which of the two candidates. As always, we're attempting for consensus. So we may need an online discussion, you know, maybe email thread discussion on who is the final candidate. But I think we can do that. One other, thanks, Maxim, for joining. And then one other issue we have is, like, is it Monday is the deadline for the motion submission? Correct, Emily. So,
hi, Susan. It's Emily. We can draft a placeholder motion.
Okay.
And get that in, and that will give us a bit more time for the meeting itself.
Okay. So we need three. We need to do three things. We need to ask, draft the question, and agree upon it, and send it out to the co-chairs. After that, if we receive that, then we'll run the poll, and then we'll also submit a draft placeholder motion. And then we could make our decision next week on, Lori, that's what I was thinking too, that maybe we just give them a couple of days to respond. I think we could get that since it's, you know, we're not asking extensive questions, pretty high level. Right. So is there anything else in selecting this candidate that we need to discuss? Like, we're not just typing. So she's saying, I think we should get back to the list. Yes, because we're missing two members. So that's Erica and Poncelet, and it's just always good to put everything in writing. And so everybody can agree on the list. All right. So I don't think we have enough time really to start into the charter. I would encourage everybody to, you know, take the extra time to review the charter. And if you have concerns, we could also work on the charter on the list. And then hopefully when we schedule another meeting, we'll definitely have to schedule a meeting for the charter. One on the charter, Emily, do we need to send that over to the GNSO Council, but is there a formal process to that? Would that have to hit a motion deadline to send that over? Thanks, Renata. Thanks, Emily. Go
ahead. Hi, Susan. This is Emily. Marika, please hop in if I'm getting this incorrectly, but I think the idea is that we would submit the documents to the council for the council's review. And I think for it to be considered at a meeting, it would need to be in before the document deadline, but we could probably also submit it, you know, as it becomes available, and then the council will consider it, you know, when it's possible to get it on the agenda, essentially. So I don't think we have to aim for a particular date, although sooner is better, but there's not a specific deadline. And Marika,
okay,
please
so
chime in if there's anything else there. Thanks.
So if we get it, you know, say we, by the end of next week or something, decided it was finalized and we could send it over to the council, we might miss this council meeting, but at least they would have it to review and have more time to think about it that way.
Correct. I think once it's ready, it would make sense to submit it so that there's time to review, discuss, and get it on the agenda for to be addressed further.
Okay.
And Marika just said you can have it for discussion at the upcoming meeting if feasible, but for formal consideration, it would need to be submitted with a motion by the deadline for the following meeting.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind then, because we do need to get this done. I know we're a little late, which is mainly my fault on that. Okay, so we're going to everybody watch the list, and we'll have a draft of that of the email to go out to the co-chairs. And then after we receive that, the feedback, and hopefully we'll try to get that in 2 to 3 days from them, then run a poll on and make a decision on the candidate, and staff will help us, or we'll provide a placeholder motion so that we can provide a name prior to the February 22nd meeting, which will fulfill the request of the other SOs and ACs that we fill this spot before they decide to put the team back to work. So, anything else we need to cover? If not, looks like Frederick's typing. We'll wait. Okay, thanks, Frederick. So we'll give you 10 minutes back of your day. And thanks for the good discussion. And we'll talk again soon. Thanks, all.
Thank you very much for joining, everybody. This concludes today's call. You may now disconnect the line.
Bye-bye.
Operator, please stop the recordings. Thank you.
Au revoir.